Hello and welcome to the Saturday morning edition of the In the Money Players podcast. We call this the Final Answer Show. It's really a bit more of a betting strategy show. PTF here. Actually, through the magic of radio, I'm still in Brooklyn, even though as you listen to this, I'm physically in Saratoga. Funny how that can work. And I have a man joining me today who typically talks all things Woodbine here on the network, writes about it as well over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com, our Woodbine correspondent, Drew Cotney. Drew, how are things?
I'm good. I'm physically in Chicago, but on Saturday, my heart will be in Woodbine in Toronto. No doubt. So does that count?
It does count. And it's my wedding anniversary. We've spent it many years up in Toronto. Absolute one of my favorite cities to travel to. So easy from a variety of places. And we encourage folks next year when it's a little easier, hopefully, God willing, Creek Don't Rise and all that, to visit Woodbine in person. Who knows? Maybe we'll even have the contest back, which would be fantastic. Hey, a quick shout out. Congrats to Howard Kravitz of the ITM team, by the way, who punched himself a Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge ticket last night in the Canterbury contest. Anyway, Woodbine contest, taking a year off, COVID, etc. Hopefully they'll be back in the contest game soon. Anyway, just wanted to get that shout out in there. Let's talk about betting strategy on this card. We call this the Final Answer Show. I spent most of my energy, Drew, trying to put together a super high five ticket for this $299,000 force out. We'll get to that as it comes in the sequence. I will also be tackling the double in the Connects races 9 and 10, grade one double action. I'm super duper excited about that. Looking to try to get some magic to happen there. Where's your first place on this card you want to make a play?
Yeah, I have a $100 wagering strategy, and I think it's important as we talk about what are your wagering goals. My goals are I want to keep having money at the end of the day. I'm not looking for life-changing scores. I want to have action throughout the card. I always want to feel comfortable in what I'm wagering. And I want to make sure that 80% of my money is going to 3 to 4 plays. How's that for a little manifesto?
I love that. No, I love that. And I think that's great. And that's different than a lot of people, a lot of weekend warriors. They come out here, they view the money they spend on racing like the money they might spend at a baseball game or a hockey game, right? They're like not concerned about it at all. And then within the context of that money, you know, they're happy to just, you know, if they're being honest with themselves for entertainment purposes, they're happy to lose it. So they're not looking to preserve capital and grind. They're looking to come out here and have a couple of days a year where they walk out with enough money to buy a used car or maybe a new car. And that's fine. That's just a very different mentality than you, who is somebody for whom the money has meaning, but you love racing and you want to be out there playing every weekend. So you've got to make sure that you stay in action in the big picture of life. You're not comfortable throwing that money down a hole. Am I describing that pretty well?
Absolutely. And the shift I had was from a weekend warrior was I played once or twice a month. Easy to do that, but I like playing more frequently. And so if your frequency increases, conservation of capital becomes important. Even though I'm playing with pennies more or less, it's still important in the grand scheme of things, even if I don't have four zeros on the end of every bet I make.
Yeah, you just need to be honest with yourself about where you are in your journey as a horse player and craft your plays accordingly. For me, my approach to this card, yeah, I mean, I'm excited just as a fan to bet this double with the two grade ones. And then I think they're, you know, it's a high risk, high reward, but I think there's an opportunity with this force out in the super high five carryover. And I think between coming up with a halfway decent, clever bet structure and the added money to the pool and just the general, it's going to intimidate a lot of people who aren't going to be participating. I think this is an opportunity to try to make a score, and I'm willing to take, you know, I think I've outlined a play that's like $400, and I'm willing to have that be, I don't know, half my handle, third of my handle on the day at Woodbine and pump it into what I see as an interesting opportunity there. So that's, but I'm also completely prepared to lose it all because it's a high risk, high reward opportunity. And that's just fine. That's just sort of where I am today. Yeah. Obviously we're betting. You know, you go ahead.
Oh, I was going to step on your toes. Sorry. I wouldn't be surprised if we do see a positive expectation because of what you said, an intimidating bet that not everyone plays with.
Well, let's dive into the specifics, my friend, because we're gonna burn through here. We only got about 15 minutes to get through this content. It's going to have a pretty short shelf life. Maybe I'll drop it late Friday night, but it could also drop Saturday morning. Just depends on things, as these things so often do. Where do you want to begin?
Let's start with race one, an optional claimer. I just have a little $5 win play. Again, I'm playing with $100. So this is just a little action bet to tune into the early part of the card. Number three, Old Secrets. This is just an open event. Ran a great 1-2 back. Got shut off. Was making great moves around the turn. Last out, I really can't explain. There was no pace at all. So maybe the jockey kind of knew that. At 20-1, I think that price is going to continue to drift up. And this group is just wide open. So $5 flyer to try and make some money and get almost double our bankroll to begin with in the day.
Can't judge that idea. Looking to get a price early, bet a little to win a lot. I mean, and you know, hard to knock a 20-1 shot in a race that for my money, you know, I definitely see the ride, the win case. I might try to mix in a little ride to win there if I were spending more than the five. But I mean, I'm not going to knock that pick. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I know. I you could go down that rabbit hole of, well, you know, this, that, and the other. Look, it's $5. Just let that ride. The next race I want to go to, because I know we're on a budget of time here, is race number three. This is why we call it the Final Answer Show, because it's our final answer. If we said everything we said in the prior show, it wouldn't be fun. I'm fading Merveilleux now. I just went back and watched replays, and nothing got me tremendously excited about this horse. And if we're able to fade that horse, I think we're going to find fantastic value throughout. And I'm going to go $10 win bet on the number two, Our Secret Agent. I still stand by this grinder style type of horse may be able to get up into it. And then I'm going to play some exactas just in case the number three, La Drag, I don't have my PPs up right now, but the La Dragon T just sets blitzer and paces and stays on with it. I'm going to do an exacta straight $6, three with two. And then a little $2 exacta, the 2-3, so my top two choices over the four, the long shot that we like, Barkin, who may be running 4 second in this place. The Catherine Day Phillips may be saying, hey, look, we know we're not going to win. Set back and make one run and try and hit the board. So that's my little play for this spot here, $20, first of the big four plays I have.
I'm with you on fading La Merveilleux, and maybe she's going to stuff me in a locker, but I'm going to try to play doubles. I know we said final answers. I just haven't in good conscience done the final work on races two and four at this stage of the game. Apologies, but I know I'm going to be messing around using the 2-hour Secret Agent and the 3 La Dragon T in doubles in and out of the third. So I'll just mention that because we're passing through, and we'll go on to your next play.
Yeah, and now we're into the thick of it. Race 9, the Pattison Canadian. I looked at Odds Checker. Walton Street is looking to be below even money. I think that's too short to bet in the win market. So I'll be looking to see what the prices are of number 2 Walton Street into the number 5 set piece in the Woodbine Mile. If we can get anything, I didn't do this math off the top of my head, but anything over like 6-1, 5-6-1, 7-1 feels like good value, and I'll be doing a $30 double cold, 2 with 5. And then I'll be playing a little $5 exacta in here as well. The 2 over the 1-8. I think we talked about English Conqueror, the number 8 before, being an up kind of an upside type that we like. And then the number 1, Corelli, just being a classy horse in general, is proven form and could be good value there. So I just think this runs through Walton Street on the lead. Lasix for the first time is going to be a gallopy type that's just going to relish in the Woodbine turf.
Yeah, I'm okay taking the short number on Walton Street. I'll definitely use Dutch Principles to have more of my money going there. Corelli was my top pick. I handicapped this pre-morning lines. If I was looking at the morning line, 4-1 Corelli, 8-5 Walton Street, I probably would have made Walton Street the top pick. I was thinking Corelli would be more like 6-1, and maybe he will be. But in terms of my betting strategy, I'm going to have some good size doubles, 1 and 2, going into the controversial Raging Bull in the next race. I also will have some smaller doubles playing the 1 and 2 in the International, Walton Street, and of course Corelli, into some other runners, some long shots in the mile. And the ones I'm specifically interested are Town Cruise on the pace angle. And then also, I don't think the race is going to set up for Space Traveler, but I think Space Traveler could surprise potentially at a big price, probably more for underneath, but I'll have some small doubles in that regard as well. And then depending on what price Belichick is in the International, I mean, 6-1 the morning line, I'm just going to let that go. But at double digit odds, this is just a horse I've liked so much over the years that I might try to like recoup my investment with a win saver on Belichick, maybe, or maybe some small, maybe a smarter thing to do would be some very small doubles, just Belichick into Raging Bull in the next race. Those were my thoughts on how to tackle the double, hoping that with the fade of Desert Encounter, I might be able to get some equity. And I was going to be willing to get punched in the mouth by very logical horses like March the Arch, Ride a Comet, and Set Piece in the Woodbine Mile. You know, I'll look at the probable doubles and, you know, I may have to tweak this and get tighter and tweak amounts. But that's my general thought. The biggest doubles being 1-2 with 7. You know, I'll have a favorite combo in there. It's not my favorite thing to do in the doubles, but I think if I bet it right, I can eke out some equity. That was my thought in this grade one double at Woodbine on Saturday. Where do you want to go next?
Yeah, I will say Belichick, William Hill is offering that one anti-post at 14-1 right now. So you're looking into that double digits, which is good for you.
Yeah, that's not hideous at all to me. I mean, it's just one of those things. I remember this. And it's funny how you remember things and, you know, you can question how relevant they are or if it's just your memory playing tricks on you. But I just remember a runner many years ago called Jambalaya, who was a horse I always liked. I think bet at Saratoga, bet at Woodbine, and one year in the Arlington Million looked, you know, theoretically outclassed. But it's like when it's a horse you have an affection for and you know they've got talent, you know they're a little bit better than the bare form suggests, and you can save with them at a big price in a big race where they're theoretically not classy enough. I'm apt to make plays like that when they don't cost much money. I'm not going to double the cost of a ticket to include a flyer long shot on a soft angle, like, oh, this is a horse I've always liked. But when you can do it, it can save your bacon. It happened many moons ago with Jambalaya. There's just some little part of me that thinks it could happen with Belichick in this spot. It's all going to come down to the specifics of how we grind on this. But, you know, for those who are allergic to favorites and just looking for an each way flyer and betting fixed odds, you could do worse than 14-1 on Belichick. I'll say that much.
I agree, especially with the new tactics that this one has employed as a four-year-old, being a bit more forwardly placed could set back off of it too. So there's some dynamics there.
Where do we go next?
Let's go to the mile. Let's do that. Just looking at the odds checker lines, if I can get anything a 4-1 on Set Piece, sign me up. Okay. I have a $20 win bet on Set Piece. That's my third big play. So we've had the Canadian in race 3, the Pattison in race 9, with $40 running through the Pattison and then $20 running through Set Piece. Most of my majority of play is going to run through Walton Street and Set Piece, exactly how I want to be positioned in the day. If those two opinions are right, I'm going to get paid probably, like, I would say make 6 or 7x what my original bankroll is, roughly speaking. But don't hold me to that math. So, Set Piece, I'm excited to watch this horse run on these unique wide turns. I don't think this horse has had an ability to do that in North America yet. You've watched all of the replays. This horse has to take back and wait for the top of the turn, wait for the top of the stretch, wait for the top of the stretch. Today, we'll see Set Piece make up ground going wide into some hot pace, a little hot pace. And I think it's 4-1. I'm excited, jumping up and down.
All right. I like the sound of it. I mean, we're against each other in this race, but, you know, you make a compelling case and I respect your enthusiasm. I respectfully agree to disagree just in terms of the setup that Set Piece is going to get. Though on our, I will say this, Jason Pertuando on our full card analysis Woodbine show, which folks should check out. I had so much fun with my odd couple of Jason Pertuando and Doug McPherson. And he thought that maybe change of control, stretching out from those sprints, would put the pace pressure on Town Cruise to set it up for Set Piece. I'm not sure, looking at pace figures, if it's going to happen. I think the race is going to hold together. I mentioned I'll hopefully be alive in doubles here, but I have a proposition for you. I think we got to go head-to-head Set Piece against Raging Bull in this one.
Done. Love it.
Excellent. So that'll be fun. I'm thinking that the tactical speed of Raging Bull makes this one the more likely of the two and the one that I want to key around. But again, reasonable people can certainly disagree. That's what makes horse racing, as a wise man, Mark Twain, once said. let's talk about this late double on the card. Did you have anything here, or are you gonna be won or lost by the time we get here?
Yeah, let's just do a $15 win bid in race 11. This open claiming 40. The number 8 Speedy Hans at 4-1 just continues to show great grit in these races up at Woodbine, and I think it's going to continue to step forward. He has the figures fit, Cassie and Gary Barber. Kimura stays aboard, has a little bit of a freshener, and has continued to do those wide sweeping moves, which are very difficult to do at Woodbine. I definitely upgrade those a couple buyer points. And so the number 8 Speedy Hans, if we can get 4-1, that's great. If this price drifts down anywhere below 3-1, 5-2, too short of a price, too competitive of a field. But 4-1, 5-1, that feels like great value, $15. That's my $100 bet right there for the day. And then we go into the super high 5 carryover.
Let's talk about it. I will just endorse Speedy Hans as a horse that I like as well. I'll probably be, if I am doing some action stuff along the way, I might be riding along with you and Speedy Hans in that spot. All right, here's how I'm going to approach this. And what I'm going to do, if you're willing, Drew, to share your digital real estate with me, I'm going to go ahead and send my notes on this bet to you to include in your blog post for Saturday. How do you feel about that?
You got it. I'm going to take notes while you're talking, so we'll maybe save you a step.
That'd be great, but it's pretty complicated, and I've got it written down here. So, okay. So either however you want to play it, that's up to you.
But let's do it. So
my thought was I'm going to take two runners out of the universe of this bet, and then I'm going to do – it's going to sound so complicated, but hopefully when folks see it written, they'll get what I mean. I'm going to do a double triple key, okay? So anyway, the horses I'm tossing are the 6 and the 12. They're going to be out. Then the horses I'm going to key, I'm going to do two separate sets of keys. The first one is going to have the 4, 9, and the 13. They're going to have to, two of them are going to have to run 1-2. And the third of them is going to have to run 3rd, 4th, or 5th with my other universe of horses. And again, the universe of horses is going to be everybody else except the 6 and the 12. The 6 and the 12 run in the top 5, I'm done. If in this set of tickets, the 4, 9, and 13 don't run 1-2, I'm done. And then the four, whichever one of the 4, 9, and 13 doesn't run 1-2 has to run 3rd, 4th, or 5th. So I'm just going to read, the first combination of the ticket, and then I'm going to talk you through. Again, Drew will post this on the blog. If you want to see it written out, go to inthemoneypodcast.com. So it's going to be 4, 9, 13 with 4, 9, 13. With 4-9-13, with 1-2-3-5-7-8-10-11. And then you're going to run that spread back again in the fifth spot. Then there's going to be, so that's going to be 67-20 for that one combination. And then we're going to do iterations of that twice more. One's going to be 4-9-13 with 4-9-13 with spread, with 4-9-13 with spread. That's another 67-20. And then we're going to play a set of tickets, 4-9-13 with 4-9-13 with spread, with 4-9-13. Now, people just listening to this without scratching along are probably lost, but that'll be 201.60 for those combinations. And then I'm going to run a second set of tickets where I swap out the 4 and I put the 11 in. I basically just trade the 11 and the 4. In those combinations, and we run through the whole thing again. Now, objectively, were you able to follow that at all?
I think so.
It'll make more sense written. It'll make more sense written. But anyway, that's the approach. It's basically 6 combinations of tickets. Each one costs $67.20 for a total investment of, I think it's $403.20. Obviously, you can make this cheaper by taking out horses and doing all manner of things. But I just wanted to give you how I'm going to approach this bet. I'm taking a shot at this super high five carryover. I think it's worth it for a variety of reasons. And yeah, hopefully this is going to pay dividends and maybe some folks will ride along with me or be inspired to come up with their own plays in this sequence. I'm going to go ahead and send you these notes. If you have questions of how to write it up on the blog, just let me know. And we'll dance from there, my friend. Any closing thought from you on this? How are we betting? It's really more the how are we betting edition of Woodbine. Maybe this is something I like this concept. Maybe this is something we can run again, my friend.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed it. I'm going to play as my super high five, 1-5 with 1-5-13. And then the 5 has to finish in 1-2. So we're dropping the 5 from secondary, from 3rd, 4th, and 5th. So I'm going to go 1-3-4-11-13, 1-3-4-6-8-11-13, and then run that line back again. This will be written on the blog. Don't worry if you didn't catch it. Don't try writing notes down while you're driving. We'll have all the information posted for the Woodbine Mile write-up in the Money blog.
That might drop before this, or when do you plan on? I guess the better question is, when do you plan on dropping that?
I'll probably post it while I'm sitting at Arlington Park later this afternoon.
Oh my goodness, I'm envious. Yeah. I'm envious for you and Matt Miller getting out there today. That should be an absolute ton of fun, if a little bittersweet. I told Matt, if you guys film anything and you have anything that functions as a goodbye, a love letter to Arlington Park, let us know. Maybe we can get one of the boys to. Edit it and pop it up on the YouTube channel.
We'll get it all figured out. We'll try and do something.
We're over time, my friends. So we're going to wrap this one. Thank you, Drew Coatney. Thank you to our friends at Woodbine. Such a pleasure doing all this extra coverage for them for this loaded Woodbine Mile Week. It's been wonderful to see this meet, which started with such uncertainty, picking up momentum like a boulder rolling down a hill. Things are going really well up there. We hope you support our partners at Woodbine. It's one of the best ways you can support us is to support all of the partners you hear about on this network, and Woodbine are chief among them. That's going to do it for this edition of the show. This has been a production of In the Money Media. Our business managers, that guy over there, Drew Coatney. Our chief creative officers, Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos!